We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Heat Beat Podcast on this beautiful Thursday, March 23rd. I'm your host, Giancarlo Navas, and with me today, we have Andrew Claudio of Knicks Film School. My friend, welcome to the program. What a great day for you to come on, huh?
Yeah, I set myself up for this, didn't I? I should have known that the first time I come on and I agreed to do it after a Knicks Heat game, it would be after the first time the Heat beat the Knicks this season. But happy to be here, my friend.
We scheduled it before the game, so we had no idea. This could have been a victory lap for Andrew, who does a great job at Knicks Film School. Make sure to check out everything that he has going over there. But Miami escapes. I don't want to say escape. Miami won the game.
Yeah, they did.
I think it was pretty clear at one point in the fourth quarter that, you know, they had kind of taken control of that game and they were going to win. It felt that way. They were playing well. I thought New York played well. We have a lot to get into. If you guys don't know the history, I've gone on Andrew's pod. And the last time I went on, I called the Knicks season cute. I said Jalen Brunson's having a cute season.
Yes.
Miami loses practically at the buzzer to Julius Randle and his incredible shot making. And Knicks fans, Knicks Twitter went at me. You know, I came out on the other side barely. We have this matchup, and now it's my turn. Although I was telling Andrew off air, man, I have so much shit to talk. And I was at the game last night with Christian Hernandez, our statistician here at Heat Beat. We talked so much shit to Knicks fans. Oh, when they were leaving early, we were waving all those Randle jerseys, all those Brunson jerseys, all those Carmelo Anthony jerseys. We were waving goodbye as Pepas filled the arena. We were screaming, yelling, laughing. It was great. It was great. But listen, that was a game that I thought was important. I think if you're a Heat fan, and Andrew and I were talking about a little bit about this before we got on, if you're a Heat fan, you know, this season has been so up and down, and you don't know what the fuck to think of this team. Now this team can score a ton of points. I know the Knicks don't have the best defense, but, you know, Miami's been scoring points. They're playing better. Andrew, you look at Miami how? Because Heat fans here, it's hard for them to get a grasp on who they are. And I think even other people nationally don't really know how to. So how do you, now that you've seen them kind of recently, and a lot really, they've played three times in a short, in a pretty condensed period. What do you make of them?
So I'll add, not necessarily bona fides, but the Heat are also a team I check in a lot on League Pass when I'm up late editing or just working on some stuff or just want to check out what's going on around the league. I've checked in a significant amount. And it's funny, I was saying on one of our post game shows when we were looking ahead at the schedule and saw both of these matchups, I'm so ready to be afraid of the Miami Heat. And you do respect Jimmy, you do respect Spoelstra. This team, obviously, I don't have to tell you how far that run went last season, how close it was to an NBA, at least the Eastern Conference title. So I'm ready to respect them. And then it's a road loss. It's like losing to the Bulls on Saturday, taking all four quarters to beat a tanking Detroit team. And it's like, okay, like every time I'm ready to commit to being like, all right, we should fear the Miami Heat, a step back is taken. I think they're a really good home team. I think Jimmy Butler in a perfect world that didn't care about wins and losses would be in the MVP conversation. He's locked in at second team All NBA as far as I'm concerned. And if they're going to keep shooting like this, they actually will put a scare into whoever the three seed is or whomever they play in the first round. So I have a respect for them as a team that will be a force to be reckoned with. I don't know how irrational Heat fans are after beating the Knicks last night. So if there's like, here's five seed, here we come, finals run back on, like, I have no idea where that's, if that's coming a certain direction. I do respect Jimmy and I do respect Spo though. So as those, you have a great best player and a great coach. That at least is a recipe that I can understand being excited about.
So you left out Bam. You did leave out Bam. And that I know is by design, which is I think kind of systematic of, I think, the national perception of them. Because if you ask Heat fans who is their best player been all season, I think 8 out of 10 are saying Bam Adebayo. Including myself. Bam has been the best player that they've had this season. Now, Jimmy is the best player, but for 82, with Bam's availability, with what he does on defense, with his truly leaps on offense, he's been their best player. You know, last night, for him, a bad offensive game. And what did he have, like 17 and 8 or something? Which for him, that's a subpar game. And, you know, did a great job on Randle. Like, really made a guy who had 57 points, you know, less than 24 hours before, 48 hours before?
Yeah, Monday night.
Monday night, you know, have 15 on, you know, shooting, right? He had 7 of 16 shooting. Really took him out of the game, and that's kind of what he adds, you know, even if he didn't have the most prolific offensive game. But that's interesting that you left him out.
So, I mean, it's obviously the second best player from my perspective. I think it's funny you mentioned the availability as to why you would have that be the reason you'd have him over Jimmy.
It's one of the reasons. It's not the reason, but it is one of the reasons.
I just take, in my opinion, take one of them off the Heat, and what are they this season? You know, now you, I guess you could argue, if you take Jimmy off, you've had to deal with Jimmy being off the Heat with his availability this season and how much time he's missed. I guess on a lower scale, the Randle Brunson stuff, like, you might look and be like, oh, well, Julius Randle's been the best player on the Knicks, which might, by the statistics and the impact metrics,
I would say probably Brunson.
Brunson's been their most important, especially offensively. The way that he's taken the slack off of Randle, that he doesn't have to do everything. If you watch the playoff series 2 years ago when the Knicks played the Hawks, it actually was pretty easy to stop the Knicks. Just double Randle, confuse him a little bit. Their entire offense ran through him. And the only game they won in that series, Derrick Rose had almost 30 points. And then after his engine was suddenly on E, the Knicks didn't have any like pivot to turn to. And with Randle and Brunson being together, Randle can operate with a little less gravity his way. And it's made him into an All-NBA player this year. It's made him into obviously an all-star this season. But Brunson, across the board, defensive limitations aside, is clearly the most important player. So I wonder if that's somewhat similar to what the Miami dynamic is. Look, I also just like respect what playoff Jimmy becomes. So maybe
of course,
I'm a little
more, and that's
biased.
Why I said he's their best player. Like, I don't think anybody here, you know, in the market is blind to the fact that he is their best player. But, you know, through the regular season, I think, and Jimmy takes nights off, man. You know, there'll be a night, there'll be a Tuesday in Sacramento that Jimmy's just not there. And that happens often. And there was a video that was circulating today. And even prior to All-Star break, Jimmy was having a great season. Like, you know, his impact metrics are always, you know, on point. But you could tell that he's not on, or as he likes to say, locked in. And he had a video, I think, from Argentina where he was just hooping. And he's like, somebody asked him, when are you going to start trying? He's like, after All-Star break, I play real basketball. And we've seen that. I mean, his, you know, a legitimate late, you know, when I say MVP push, I mean, like, can he get like on the fourth or fifth spot of a ballot kind of play? Like, then that's the kind of play he's had, man. You know, not to be under a delusion or anything, but I just think that the level that he's played since All-Star break is like, it's like there, dude. It's like,
I see the numbers. Believe me, I don't. That fifth spot is open on the MVP ballot right now.
I think it's his to have. I think if he keeps this up, it's his to have.
they get the 5 seed and he keeps this up, that's the case, you know? Like, pushed, not saved the Heat season, because I don't know.
No, I'd say, if they're a 7 seed coming off of, you know, remember, let's keep it to perspective what happened this summer. They didn't do a single thing this summer. They just lost. They didn't add, they lost. They drafted Nikola Jovic, who hasn't played, really, and they lost PJ, and guys got older and more hurt. So they were, you know, they were looking at the 7 seed, looking up from hell, and that is saved. He is saving their season.
Respect to Jimmy Butler. I know he talked a lot of junk last night. It's funny. The moment he did that, that's when the Knicks like went on a run. So I appreciate.
So Jimmy had a couple moments in that game. Every time he hit a shot, just Dwayne Wade was in the building. Every time Jimmy hit a shot, a big shot, he turned to Dwayne and pointed and yapped, which is peak.
We had no idea who he was yelling at.
It was Dwayne Wade.
So we were obviously watching the MSG broadcast. They never said, like, because we were watching it on playback, they never said, like, who he's yelling at. There's one.
Doesn't
time
and
that
Breen
he turns
sits
to
on the other
camera.
Side.
Right. So he might have seen that it's Dwayne Wade, but, like, it was like he's gesturing to someone on the Heat bench or he's talking to somebody. So I just thought, like, a way to pump himself up, he had to do that. And so I understood it. The Knicks were in the game. So, like, I knew, I also went into the night assuming that Jimmy Butler was going to go off. So it wasn't necessarily surprising what he was doing last night. It was after the game that I realized that are we allowed to curse on here or no?
Of course, you let that shit
okay.
fly.
The shit that he was talking was more to Dwayne Wade as it was in good spirits, I guess, if you want to call it that. And you know, the Knicks scored 120 points. I wasn't like concerned about like, I was way more concerned about the defensive side of the ball, but like it's the Gabe Vincent performance. It's the Tyler Hero performance. It's the Max Strus hitting every open three that I was more concerned about than Jimmy Butler doing what I expected Jimmy Butler to do.
Yeah. And I mean, he just gets him in gear. I mean, he had that moment where I think he scored on quickly and he just does the too small as he's running back on defense. And then of course the Randall. You know, I think Jimmy's going to the line, makes a little crying face at Randall and just goes, okay, which is top five moment this season. Maybe number one moment this season. I'm not going to lie. That shit, you do that to a Knick player, you're a lifer. You're a fucking lifer.
I will just counterpoint, as in the words of Michael Jordan from The Last Dance, it's really easy to talk shit when you're up. And when it's 0-0, let's see if you bring that smoke. And the last time...
You know he does, though. You know he does.
The last time Jimmy Butler had a chance to stop Julius Randle, he hit a shot to win the game in the what became MSG South a couple weeks ago.
In the words of Dame Lillard, that's a bad shot. I'm sorry, Paul George.
Paul George, that's a bad shot.
That's a bad shot.
I'm playing the result here, my friend. It's a shot that went in and sent us into a stir, so...
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, JJ Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, man, that and you know, there were so many fucking Knicks fans there yesterday. It was insane. Christian and I were like, where did these people, where do y'all come from? I mean, the last time I was at a Heat Knicks game was the Linsanity game.
Mm-hmm.
And there were a lot of New Yorkers there, but it wasn't as much as this. This was a lot. I would say at least 30% was Knicks fans, which is mm-hmm. like, I guess it makes sense if you live here, especially, you know, in these months. Right, where it's still, I know that the weather in New York has been horrible.
Mm-hmm.
I just had a friend here visiting from New York, and he was complaining about it a ton. And it's been nice here, but yeah, man, it's so many Knicks fans.
There are many a New Yorker I grew up with, family even that migrated south. So I can't really push back on that. Yes, we like living in a state with nice weather and no state income tax. I don't know what to tell you as far as
no, it's just Knicks fans there. Observation.
You
so
know.
Let's talk about kind of the flow of the game a little bit, because you know, Andrew, one of the things I thought has been interesting about Miami is they're going Kevin Love at center in the minutes that Bam sits. That role was for Cody Zeller, who I believe it was against, was it Detroit or I don't remember, or Chicago. One of those games, he broke his face. It looked bad. There was blood everywhere. It was a bloody stretch for Miami. Kevin Love also looked like he came out of war. I forgot which game he got bloodied up on, but they've been having a lot of head injuries lately. But Cody Zeller's been out for a bit. Was it Orlando? I don't remember. One of these games, Zeller got hurt. And Love has kind of been playing backup five. And it's been interesting because Miami's defense has taken a huge hit since really the deadline. They were one of the best teams in the league defensively. They were five in defense. They've slipped to 22nd in defense since All-Star break. And I believe they're 11th in offense, which is a total flip where they were like 27th in offense and 5th in defense. When Kevin Love's on the court without Bam, in 65 minutes, the Heat are plus 14 net rating, a 140 offensive rating, and a 126 defensive rating. So that explains a lot. And I want to know how you felt those minutes were. Like, how did you feel about those Kevin Love minutes? Because I think they get in gear on offense. You saw a couple of times where Love is throwing these really nice outlet passes. There's that one outlet bounce pass as Jimmy and Caleb are leaking out. We know that New York isn't this, they're an offense team, you know, this year, which is weird under Thibs, but you know, what did you make of those lineups? Cause I thought it breathed a little bit of life into the game for them. Cause they were down before
they
that
were.
Happened.
And so specifically the start of the fourth quarter minutes, when I believe that's when both Bam and Jimmy were sitting.
Yeah. And it was Kyle, Tyler. Yeah.
So that was the point. We were watching the game again on playback, and while the Heat were seemingly making everything and it looked like we were headed for a double-digit loss, those of us that watch the Heat consistently, or at least track them throughout the season, A, we know that you guys just only play five-point games. So I had a feeling we were getting back.
Crazy, bro.
I had a feeling we were getting back.
It almost happened again yesterday.
It almost did, believe me. I was ready for it. I also knew how good the Knicks' second unit was, that quickly Obi Toppin, Josh Hart, Isaiah Hartenstein, RJ lineup
Hart
that they go
really
to.
Well.
They're able to get so much more creative with their offense. No disrespect to Mitchell Robinson, an elite offensive rebounder when he's heads in the game, but you can spread the floor a little bit more.
I feel that's an insult.
Well, just like you could spread the, it's just a different type of center, you yeah. know. Like you could spread the floor a little bit more.
They
he's
needed
not a three-point
to.
Shooter.
I think that helps them a ton.
So as a result, it's so much less about like can Hartenstein hit a three. It's more about opening up the rim and these drives that the Knicks like to do with Quickly, with RJ, with Josh Hart. You also allow Obi Toppin to become more of a weapon with less somebody not in the dunker spot. So while I will say that I was like, you have to win these minutes when Bam or Jimmy are not there, for me, it was way less about like the Kevin Love minutes that you had to win. It was who wasn't on the floor and focusing. Like, that's the Knicks ended up taking a lead in that fourth quarter because of that second unit. I was more confident just that I think you ran up against one of the better second units in the NBA with that fourth quarter. I don't know if that makes you feel any better.
No, Kevin Love's
center minutes.
So, like, we don't like those non-Jimmy Bam minutes, and we don't understand. I feel a little bit better about them since Kyle's come back because Lowry, again, had a really good game yesterday.
Yeah. How you feeling?
I feel good. I mean,
vindicated?
A little bit. Okay. You know, and he's not going to give you the big box score stuffing that he used to do, right? Like, you know, he would regularly put up like 19, 9, and 7, right? That was like a normal Kyle night. Now it's more like, you know, 14, 5, and 3. But, you know, there was a play yesterday when I was sitting with Christian, and I believe it's Mitchell gets an offensive rebound, or Brunson, some Nick gets an offensive rebound, and Kyle, you know, it wasn't Kyle's offensive rebound to give up, but, you know, he had the awareness, was able to kind of put some pressure on the ball, get like a mild strip, but not really, and then gave Jimmy and Caleb enough time to swarm, and they got a turnover out of it. And then they scored on the other end. It was the tippy toe shot that Caleb hit off the outlet and leak out. And that's not going to show up in the box score as a steal. That's not going to show up as anything. But, you know, that's a 4-point swing. You know what I mean? Especially not fouling and everything. And those are the kinds of plays that he makes. You see how he kind of runs their offense when they leave the bench. I think the minutes between him and Tyler have been really, really good specifically, which wasn't early in the year. They were kind of struggling. Last year, they were really good together. This year they had struggled. So I'm just glad that he's able to give them something on offense. He does play really good defense. I thought he struggled with RJ yesterday. And I thought a part of that was kind of their help. And in that quarter you're talking about, I remember there being a play where their back line was Hero and it was another small guy. And then Hero's the guy coming to help. And I was like, yeah, I mean, they're just going to score. I mean, if quickly gets in the paint, like that helps not doing anything. Right, because their low men were guards. So that's what more worried me. And then especially kind of, I thought the Knicks did a great job of trying to get Kevin Love into actions, not as the initial guy, but as the secondary guy. Like they ran, you know, whatever down screen, it's Kevin. So he has to be the one to kind of close out on the shooter off the kickout. And they know he's a little slower. And I thought that they generated a ton of open looks. So I was a little bit worried about that, but I thought they scored enough where that didn't matter, even without Jimmy.
That's the thing. Like, the Knicks defense right now, I think, is much more of a concern. But like you said, they run these pistol sets for RJ.
Yeah.
That
nice early offense.
They just get him downhill a lot easier. This is all another way to kind of help when you spread the floor a little bit. It's why RJ Barrett's such a tough player to evaluate, because you see these moments like 26
points. I think you
saw
it last night, yeah.
Well, like 26 points on 13 shots, and then you get the portion of the Knicks fan base that's like, why didn't he take 25 shots? Why didn't
he? I know he puts up stinkers regularly, and last night you're like, oh, wow, he looks good, and then
you see it, yeah. But you see like he's more efficient in the touches he has. So it's the rock and a hard place of like, should this have been a game that you featured RJ more? Should this have been a game that you went away? Like, did Randall and Brunson led the team in shot attempts, both with 16. But like you spread the wealth a little more. I actually noticed a lot more ball movement in the first two quarters, as opposed to the third quarter when it got a little more isolation heavy. I thought the Heat did a smart thing of that. It was an adjustment from the last game, where it was just Jimmy's on Brunson, Bam's on Randall, and our two best defenders are going to guard your two best players. And it's why Quentin Grimes had a good game. It's why RJ Barrett had a good game. And you had other options that were out there scoring. The RJ thing, though, like you said it, like every person that was switched onto him, and he's had like a 30-point game earlier this season against the Heat. He had 46 at the Garden last season. So it's funny how he ends up having these good games against the Heat. I would like it if they would win more of those good RJ games against the Heat, but I guess I'll settle for the one at the Garden earlier this year. I appreciated that the RJ was able, because again, when you
have
he did
that against
night,
three guards, which I think is important. Like,
right,
he roasted the smaller lineups.
Right, which is that's the formula, especially when you're going to put Jimmy on Brunson, which Brunson still being able to get 25 points last night was. It's what he's been all season.
Caleb spent a ton of time on him too, and I thought Jalen did a really good job
I thought he, like, we were talking before the pod, though, like, that first step that he has, like, he was able to not handle Jimmy because, like, Jimmy made his life tough, but that's just what he's been all season, is taking tough shots, you know?
Jimmy, like, really focused. I thought he played too heavily into trying to get turnovers. I thought he gambled. It was mostly on Randall when he got switched on to Randall. I thought he was kind of fishing for turnovers, and he got burned, which kind of leaves kind of Tyler and Max kind of compromised, kind of rotating on the back line, which I haven't looked at their numbers, but I will later because I'm curious as to, because, you know, Cooper Moorhead had tweeted out something that, like, if you discount Miami's ability to create turnovers, like, if you just count only, like, live possessions, you know, they're one of the worst defenses in the league, but the fact that they force so many turnovers makes them one of the best.
And which, that's why that to me was, like, the big difference last night. A lot of focus was made on why the Knicks gave up 127 points. It's the second straight game that an opponent shot at least 57% from three. And, like, you don't want that, but the Knicks also had 16 turnovers. This is one of the teams that turns the ball over the least in the league. It's a focal point, and they were a little bit more careless with the ball last night.
And I think Miami felt that, and I think Jimmy sensed that. I kind of wish he would rein that in a little bit, but, you know, you can't argue with his results. I think at that point, kind of his judgment calls are good. I want to talk a little bit about Brunson, because we talked pregame, like, about his first step. I left at the arena, and I hate to give, and I'm going to slander the fuck out of you guys in a second, but okay. I hate to be left impressed by, you know, when he gets that first step, he's so good at deceleration, and seeing it live was cool because it was a play, I believe it was in the first or second quarter, that he has Caleb on him, and he goes at him with that first step, and he's not the most athletic guy in the world, and he's a smaller guy, but he's able to kind of get that first step and get Caleb on his hip. Decelerates so quickly. Caleb is an athletic freak. He recognizes this, and he knows he's going up for the shot. He's floating. I mean, the hang time that Caleb had was ridiculous. Floating for that contest. Jalen waits it out and kind of gets his little push shot going. And I think that's just, like, kind of his game against these longer defenders, because I thought Miami was like, okay, well, we don't have the point of attack guys to really deal with this, so we're just going to throw length on him. Right, which is, you know, why Lowry ends up guarding Barrett, right, and even Gabe spent time on Barrett. Like, they just give up size on Barrett, and they're like, let's try to control the guards. And I just thought that I that was where I left impressed. So Jalen kind of recognized that with the first step, was able to kind of get that length off of him. As Smith and Smolnik in chat says, Andrew looks like if G grew up in a white neighborhood.
That's funny. It's my hair. I should have done something different with my hair. Okay. Regardless, shout out to Bispadre.
Shout out to chat. Shout out to chat. Yes.
Estoy puertorriqueño.
There you go. Amigo. You know, Andrew, okay. Andrew's Puerto Rican, you know.
Exactly.
So.
I just also have, you know, the banker hair going on right now.
Wall Street hair.
Exactly.
Wall Street
exactly.
Andrew.
Wall Street is literally like 20 minutes that way. So
Wall Street Andrew.
Interesting. Jalen Brunson has struggled with length all season too. Like, when you get into these matchups against, like the Raptors were like a nightmare matchup for
him. Raptors are hell for everybody, bro.
They're hell for everybody, yeah. But, like, even for a smaller guard, like, he's struggled with teams that can, like you said, have guard you with length, which is why I think you saw the good of that, of Jalen Brunson last night, being able to kind of adjust and still hit tough shots and get his points. And then you saw the five turnovers, which were some, like, I think four of them were live ball turnovers. And it's this thing he's done for the past couple of games since he came back from injury, where there's some grenades he'll throw, where it's like, I'm working my way to try and get into the paint, but because I've now, like, gotten nowhere, here, Randall, here's 2 seconds, go do something. Hey, quickly, here's 2 seconds, go do something. We have, like, very few bad things to say about Jalen Brunson this season, though. The only reason the Knicks are in the position they're in is because of him. I'm glad that you felt impressed by his cute season and his cute performance last night, you know?
Listen, he's had a cute season.
It's adorable. Yeah.
It's adorable. He's had an adorable little season.
Yeah, it's gorgeous. It's handsome.
Gorgeous. Listen, yeah. It's gorgeous and a nice L going back to New York from Miami will play them again. Listen, I hate to admit, but they had a good, you know, New York I thought was good. I watched them and I came out of that game thinking, and Alf said this on Hangover Time last night, and we all made gag reflexes post game. You know, Alpha's doing throw out. He was pantomiming vomiting, having to say, "I hate to admit this, but the Knicks are a good team."
Thank you. And listen, they play well.
Now, the thing is, do you really want the 5 seed and play Milwaukee in the second round? That's what I was thinking about today. I'm like, do I really want the 5 seed?
That's maybe a Miami Heat question, because you guys have higher aspirations. You need to understand the parade that will be thrown if the Knicks win a playoff series. We've won one this century. And the expectations around this team going into this year, it was like, get home court in a playoff game and it will be a step in a play-in game and it will be a step forward. And what this season has been, with the multiple winning streaks, with their 10 games over 500, and they've played poorly over their last like week and a half, you know? So, we have to get through Milwaukee anyway if you're going to end up playing them. It's not going to matter to me if they get eliminated by Milwaukee in the second round or the conference finals, especially since, and I don't know how you feel about this, I think the Milwaukee Bucks are my pick to win the title. So if you lose to the eventual champions, if you lose to the eventual champions, whenever it is, I'll live with it. I'll talk myself into this still being a successful season. If it's a second round and you got by Donovan Mitchell with all of the storylines and the baggage that's going to surround that series, the rest is house money, whatever happens in that second round.
That's funny. So like if Miami loses in the first round,
it's Armageddon.
It's
blow
a
it
disaster.
Up.
They need to win a series. And I think if you win a series against, I think Cleveland's a winnable series, and I think Philadelphia's a winnable series. Now I know that Philly's playing a lot better, and I know that the addition, and I'll talk about this at length on a pod separately, but I think the addition of Kevin Love kind of complicates the way that Miami plays Philadelphia. We could talk about that more in depth later. Kind of their more swarm and switch mentality against them. But I like that matchup. But I think winning against Cleveland and then getting Milwaukee is just a recipe to get embarrassed in the second round. It's just tough for me to imagine Miami being able to keep up with the Bucks. I actually don't even hate their matchup against Boston. I think Miami's played Boston tough, and that may be crazy, and I wouldn't pick Boston to win. But I sure think they have a better chance than they do against Milwaukee.
I have been working on a take lately at Knicks Film School. Are we sure Boston wasn't always there for the taking?
I'm there. I mean, I don't.
That first round series against Brooklyn was Brooklyn had a fourth quarter lead in 3 of the 4 games. You know, like that was a sweep. Don't get me wrong, but it's not like a normal sweep where they dominated Brooklyn and swept them off the court. They were down 3-2 and had multiple home losses against Milwaukee. And it took Jason Tatum's best career performance and 25 3-pointers in game 7 to win. I don't need to tell you how close the Miami Heat series
was. And remember
was.
That Lowry was hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Max
Hero was hurt.
Hero missed the last 2 games. Max Strus had a lower body.
Jimmy
injury.
Was on one leg. Like,
Jimmy missed the game.
Yeah.
They won that game, but Jimmy missed the game. And PJ Tucker also had, they all had lower body injuries. So
all of the things that went right for the Celtics last year and this season, they lose their coach. Marcus Smart's not playing the way that he did last season. They've barely seen that starting five play together this year. Now you add this Jaylen Brown storyline. I gotta be honest. I have to look at like eventually who the matchup is, but I'm eventually probably if it's Miami Boston in the first round, I'm probably going to take Miami
Andrew,
as an upset.
I'm in a Celtic group chat. They really don't want that. They all are like,
of course not.
I'd probably pick us, but I just never want to see Jimmy Butler ever again. Ryan Spravero in chat says Boston's 14-11 in their last 25.
Yeah, net rating, it's even worse. They got off to that crazy good start to the season where it looked like they were headed for 65.
It was the reverse of last season, Andrew.
Yeah.
If you remember last year, Boston was like the 7th seed for a long time, and then they came surging. This has been the opposite.
Do you know what the inciting incident was that turned their season around?
Last season?
Yes.
No, I don't.
We take it personally in Knicks land.
Oh,
so
did the Knicks win?
The RJ Barrett buzzer beater. It's actually statistically.
That'll do it.
Like,
Andrew,
they
that'll
went like
do it.
32-11 after that stretch.
Andrew,
like,
that'll
oh,
do it. That'll do
losing
it.
Losing to RJ Barrett at the buzzer? Yes.
It would do it for me.
It was a 24-point lead that they blew at Madison Square Garden. And then, you know, RJ Barrett hits a buzzer beater off glass. And from that point, you can literally point to it. Ironically, it was on January 6th of 2022. And then from that point on, the Celtics went on a run. So
the jokes write themselves.
They really do.
The jokes truly.
January 6th was a turnaround for the people of Boston.
For the people of Boston.
Yes.
The Boston Celtics. You know, last year, I like Miami in that series against Boston. I liked them pregame. I was a little disappointed that they got injured, but you know, D Sizzle and Chat says the only teams I don't want to see in the first round are Boston and Milwaukee. So my Miami gets filling the first round. That's an easy dub. I wouldn't say easy. I know the Magic right now are up on they're up on New York.
Tied at 22.
Okay, that message came in late. The actual game for Miami to keep an eye out for today is
Brooklyn.
Is the Brooklyn game against Cleveland today? Because Miami, I do think that if you're Miami, you just don't want to be in the play-in. I don't think New York is. Do you guys have the tiebreaker over Brooklyn?
Yeah.
I believe so. Don't you?
Yes, because it's division record, and that's the craziest part about this season. Is the Knicks went into the year with this gauntlet division with Toronto, Brooklyn before the KD Kyrie trade,
and Boston,
Philadelphia, and Boston, and it was like, well, this is where you count on a play-in berth at best because you're going to be in last place in your division. And like beat the Celtics 3 out of 4 times. They beat Philly twice. You know, they went, I think they went 2-2 against both
Brooklyn
and Toronto. So as a result, they're able to get the tiebreaker there with Brooklyn. I'm resigned to the belief that I think Brooklyn's going to end up in the play-in.
I think so too.
I know Miami has some road games and they're just a much different team on the road this season. But
they only have two home games left, I believe. I believe it's their season ender.
Brooklyn's, so I think 5 of their final 8 are on the road. That was the comfort I was giving to Knicks fans last night that are now terrified that Miami's going to pass them and that the Knicks are going to fall to 7th. And then we're going to have to play Trae Young again. And then some bullshit's going to happen. And Trae Young's going to get 40 free throws. And they're going to end up losing at the Garden in the 7-8 matchup. Then they're going to lose to Chicago or Toronto because they barely played well against Toronto. It'll be back-to-back home losses. The doomsday scenario that Knicks fans and their PTSD created last night. I told them, there are 5 teams in the NBA with a positive net rating on the road this year. The Knicks are one of them. They will rebound. And then I pointed out the negative 2.6 net rating that the Heat have. And was like, that is your path. Just be comforted by the fact that the Heat are a different team on the road. Brooklyn's schedule, I think, will dictate that they're headed for the 7 seed.
Miami's schedule is weird. And I'll say one thing about what you just said.
Mm-hmm.
Miami's a different team than they were pre-All-Star break because they've switched to their scoring again and they're shooting again. So I don't know. That's why we started this show with to bring this full circle. I don't know what to make of them. I just genuinely don't. And that's why I like asking people that are not so close to the team. Because even
who'd they play last week? It was Utah that they put up like 140 points on.
No, they did. So it was Utah.
It was Memphis. It was Memphis.
So Utah 119. Grizzlies 138, 112 against Detroit, and 127 last night. Their only loss, they were 99. So, against Chicago.
I just, the Chicago game, I was expecting them to come into this Knicks game like on a 5-game winning streak. And then.
So were we.
Pat Bev went on a 14-0 run against the Heat.
Actuality, that Orlando overtime. So, I mean, they could have gone in on a 7-game win streak because that Orlando lost in overtime after Jimmy kind of Hercules them back. They kind of put up that stinker in overtime. They had beat Cleveland the game before. And then obviously that Chicago game. So Miami going forward to close out their season against at Brooklyn. If I'm correct. Yeah, no. At home against Brooklyn. That's one of their last two home games. At Toronto, at New York, at home against Dallas, at Detroit, at Philadelphia, at Washington, and then at home against Orlando. So not that many home games left. A weird schedule. Obviously, you know, Washington, Orlando, Detroit are the gimmies. You know, you need to. And Orlando's not a gimme. I fucking hate that team. I hate playing that team. They're just annoying.
25-23 since December 7th.
That Philly game might be interesting. I think Philly's going to have something to play for until the last day with how close the 1-3 is. And Dallas, you know, obviously the West is a fucking clusterfuck right now. Mm-hmm. And that New York game's huge. I think that New York game's gonna say a lot. I think if Miami can kind of beat Brooklyn, beat Toronto, go into that New York game on a little winning streak, I think, you know, if New York doesn't play perfectly, that game might mean a ton. And obviously, you know, if they even tie, I don't know. What's the next breaker?
Next tiebreaker, Miami would have it because it's division. If then you guys will have won your division.
Okay. Okay. Yeah.
So you win that game, you have the tiebreaker with the Knicks, and the entire city of New York will be in a panic that we're dropping to the 6th seed, and all the good vibes are officially gone.
But you may want the 6th seed. If it's Boston,
I want Donovan Mitchell.
If
I want
it's
Donovan
Boston,
Mitchell.
What if it's Boston?
Listen, I'll get up for Boston or Cleveland.
Because
I
mean,
want
you guys have
Donovan
done
Mitchell matchup.
You guys have played Boston really tight in the regular season.
Yeah, undefeated in Boston this year.
Yeah. So
look, I'm the one that just gave you the take.
I know. That's why I had to ask.
It's the symbolism of like you had this run. You won 9 straight games to get to the 5 seed, and it was like the good juju of like the Knicks are 6th. You know, like. Maybe they're able to, or the Knicks are 5th, I mean. Like, you're able to see the progress of being the 11th seed last year and taking this giant step forward. Quickly's probably going to win sixth man of the year. You add in,
is he?
Like, I think he is. Listening to Zach Lowe talk with Chris Herring this year.
Like him and Norman
it's him
Powell?
And Malcolm Brogdon. It's him
really?
And Malcolm Brogdon. Yeah. And just looking Powell at, I don't want to fully go impact metrics here because they all kind of draw from the same metrics and whatnot. I just go by lineup data. The Knicks have been, like, a significantly better team when he's on the floor.
Yeah.
It's why last night, perfect example. When did the Knicks make their 2 runs to get back in the game? Beginning of the 2nd quarter, beginning of the 4th quarter. It's when they
nature has healed
unit.
the bench unit.
Right. Like
the bench unit buoys New York.
That's been the formula all season. When RJ's had those stinkers, all of us have just been like, can we get Emmanuel quickly back in the game, please? Like the Knicks are playing without Brunson right now. And as I'm watching, they're down 7. So that could lead to some agita later, but
and that this has big implications for Miami because what's the difference in the standings right now?
Game and a half.
It's two games.
Knicks lose. It's a game and a half.
So it's a game and a half with one left against New York
against each other,
and that
will decide the tiebreaker.
And then the tiebreaker, since Miami has the tiebreaker, that half game is essentially it for them. So a lot to play for down the stretch here, Andrew. Before we get out of here. I did want to ask you, and by the way, before I say that, let me give a couple shout outs in chat. You know, people are asking, who was it? Dizzle's like, is Oladipo hurt or is he out of the lineup? Much to the glee of Alphonse Sidney, host of our post game show Hangover Time, Oladipo is out of the lineup.
Out of the lineup.
Alpha,
wow.
Some of us have been sick of Depot, man. His shot selection is kind of up his ass, and I just think he needs the ball too much, and I just think he can't have the ball. And I think with Lowry kind of coming back and playing better. He, you know, obviously, Depot's such a non-shooter, and I think Kyle's just a better pull-up guy anyway, that it just makes more sense to have Kyle on the ball, and Kyle's been good defensively too, so been a weird thing. Highsmith got minutes last night over Oladipo, which I like too. I just think that they're a wing short, partly what we were talking about earlier about how their kind of help on the back line can get a little small, and I think that's kind of a problem with their defense now as well. You know, Highsmith is a guy that is big, is not the tallest guy, but plays big and is strong. There was another thing I saw here that I wanted to say that I don't know if I'd rather have Strus or Oladipo. I think you kind of need Strus because you need him to have games like last night to win. He's more likely to be a good shooter than Oladipo, and they just need anybody to step up as a shooter. And, you know, as Andrew saw, unfortunately for him last night, Gabe and Strus kind of regress to their mean as good shooters. They need Max. Yeah. They you know, we can talk shit about Max. We can get mad at Max and Gabe because they're really like they're the avatars for the regression of the role players. You know, the ones not hampered by age and injury. They need them to play well, and they don't have anybody else. Those guys gotta play to a level that we've seen them play before. You know.
Yeah.
So. Andrew, I want to ask you because I do, and with this, we'll get out of here. I think that this is a new era of Heat-Knick rivalry. These teams don't like each other. It's clear. And I think that's fucking awesome because even the Big Three teams, those Knick teams, they didn't hate each other because Melo's boys with them.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, if anything, I think that maybe the Indiana teams and New York teams, those Roy Hibbert Pacers and those Knick teams didn't like each other way more than those Heat teams and Knick teams didn't. I think these two teams genuinely don't like each other. You can see that there's a little bit of ire. I don't know where the fuck it came from, you know, but, you know, Bam has very famously, when he was interviewed by, I forget her name. She's a New Yorker. God damn.
Is it Rebecca Harlow?
No, no. She has I think she works for Bleacher Report.
Oh, Ashley.
Ashley. Yeah. And she asked Bam, oh, who's the hardest guy for you to defend? And he gets a bunch of names. She's like, but not a Julius Randle. And Bam's just like, no. Who? Like, I don't know, man. These teams just don't fucking like each other. And I like that.
Yeah.
Doesn't that feel – it feels good.
My Knicks fandom began on an Allen Houston running jumper with 0.8 seconds left.
As Miami has heartbreak broken.
Well, believe me, that poster is hanging in my childhood room about 40 miles that way with my parents. But I you need some playoff matchups to fully solidify it. So if these two teams are the 4-5 next year, let's have some fun.
That'd be fucking awesome.
I mean, hell, if this is the 5-6 in the conference finals, why not? You know, the Knicks against
the Heat.
Why not us? Look, I think the RJ Tyler Hero, because they're drafted the same
year.
That's
true. I didn't even think of that.
Was comps that direction. Jimmy and Randall have gotten into it, obviously, over a couple of days. You have the Riley factor of it that still
exists.
That's
always going to be, yeah.
Because it's always going to be there. And then you add in, like, Tibbs went up against – you mentioned this when you came on with us. Went up against the Heat and a lot of those matchups when he was with the Bulls. So, I'm here for it.
I'm here for it.
The most our fan base, our specifically Knicks Film School, has been animated was on the post game after Randall hit that shot. And it's why, look, you mentioned Jimmy becoming an icon or a lifer because of that moment against the Knicks when he did the face at Randall. Well, Randall became an icon with that shot as well. So
there's hatred here, man. We got to farm.
All is forgiven.
We got to farm this hate, dude. Let's go.
I'm in.
Fuck these positive vibes. Hatred's back on the menu. It's the 90s,
baby. What is it? Hater first, analyst second?
Hater first, analyst second. Let's go. Yeah. Absolutely. I don't hate you.
We're taking over your building every away game that we're there. We're on our way to taking over your state with no state income tax. Yeah. Like, I'm all in.
Listen, you better pray that there's no Let's Go Heat chants at MSG.
Don't worry, there won't be.
You better pray. We'll see. It's in there everywhere. There. Uh-huh. You certainly hear them in Brooklyn games.
Well, that's because there's no Nets fans. That's
little brother.
That's something we can.
Yeah, we can all come together.
Brooklyn, there's like 87 of them. They're basically like J. Cole fans. There's like a very small sect of J. Cole fans. You go to their concert, they all think it's the time of their lives, but it's not that big a fan base as a result.
Listen.
And with the Nets, it's like that's why the KD Kyrie thing was so fascinating, where they went to a place where there's no built-in fan base or built-in excitement for the team whatsoever. And then, like, they'd go to Knicks games and be like, this is the team that we're afraid of. It's like, no, you're better, but you don't have anybody that's going to now become a Nets fan as a result, you know?
I cannot wait to continue to hate this Knicks team. But I don't hate you, Andrew, and I love that you came on and we'll always have a good time here. I do hate your listeners, though, and they hate me back. And listen, I will be their heel. I'll be their heel.
Uh-huh.
I'll be their heel. Did they hate Zaslow?
No, he
was nice.
He was nice.
Zaslow used to be on the radio.
He started off with the Knicks are good and like.
He can't do that. Zaz is like, I don't even. I don't like Zaz. I'm publicly beefing with Zaz on Twitter.
Beef with Zaslow.
I'm beefing with Zaz on Twitter. But Zaz used to be a guy that would come here on the radio in Miami and talk massive shit about the Knicks. So I used to lead that. I don't want to hear about his Zaz.
Mm-hmm.
I'm disappointed in him. He was supposed to represent us.
Listen, he talks shit after the game, so he was able to.
He can't do after. I talk shit before.
I agree.
I agree. I put myself out there, man. I put myself out there for your listeners to. And I let them off easy because I was at the game and I had a great time drinking. They got lucky.
Mm-hmm.
They got lucky. I was vibing.
Speaking of getting lucky, I'm glad you enjoyed last night's win over the Knicks. And when you come to the Garden next Wednesday and you officially. See what a team can do when they win the tiebreaker.
It's a fucking tiebreaker, bro. That's it right there. Everything on the line.
Enjoy this is all I'm going to say.
I love it.
Enjoy this.
Is that on national TV? The NBA better flex that.
I don't think so, but I agree. That's a flex
team.
That's
a fucking flex, bro.
I
mean, Heat Knicks mattering. You got to get that. You know what I mean?
Listen, I'm all in. I'm all in.
It's built in. Andrew, tell the people where they can find you, your incredible work. I don't know if they're going to be Heat fans listening to yourself, but maybe they could tell a Knick fan relative if they want a Nick podcast.
Uh-huh. Especially down in Florida, where I'm sure you have There's a Knicks so fan relative that has
God
moved there.
Damn.
So you can find me and the entire Knicks Film School crew on Twitter at Nick Film SKOOL. Because we're cool like that. We're the cool kids in school.
You're young, hip.
Exactly. We're young and hip, or Nick's film school was already taken.
Damn that
we're
SEO.
On Twitter, we're on Instagram, we're on Facebook and all those platforms. We're big on our YouTube channel, where we're about to hit 12,000 subs this
Look
season.
At that.
So if you wanna come and join us after we lose, and you can commiserate with us there or poke fun at us there,
That's what chat's saying.
Or see what an exciting, win is like after a Knicks game, as they're down 17 to the Magic. The big thing, check out the Knicks Film School podcast. We upload, like 2 to 3 uploads a day, especially on a game day.
What
the pregame
machine.
Pod, post-game pods, as well as some off-day pods where we just kind of talk about the general state of the team. Thanks for having me, man. It's been great to make a new friend out of this, even if he is on enemy lines.
Listen, I'll hate you in public, but in private, I'll be like, yo, Andrew.
In private,
you know,
yeah.
Yo, hope all's well with you and the fam, you know, all that.
Yes,
excited for what is it, next Thursday?
Wednesday.
Next Wednesday. Love it. ESPN, you know what to do. Mm. And remember to catch our shows. Remember, guys, a special weekend Hangover Time postgame show this Saturday against the Brooklyn Nets. That's a big one. And you know how we do on weekends. We always have fun. Come have a drink with us. Watch the game. If you're not at Ultra Weekend in Miami, Audrey, I don't know if you know what Ultra is, but the city gets shut down.
I'm aware.
I'm aware. I was invited and I said no. I have to ask my friend. I said no. This is too much. It's too much. I'm getting too old for this. I'm over the hill. But join us on Saturday for Hangover Time. I don't know if we have a pregame show. I think we do. We'll see. But join us then here on twitch.tv/MiamiHeatBeat and on YouTube. And thank you to everybody in chat, all our subs and everybody. We'll see you then.
Thanks for having me, folks.